Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you for your presence in this place. Oh, Almighty God, we honor you. I thank you that you've honored us today by showing up. You've honored us today with your presence, Lord God. Thank you, Almighty God. Just put your hand on your heart. Thank you, Lord God. Father, I bow my knee before you. I submit myself to you. Father, I thank you that you have a work to do in each one of our hearts. Holy Spirit of truth, I pray that you'd reveal the things to us that you want to reveal. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would be those who are on a constant journey of transformation. May we never, ever, ever stand still. May we be those who are being transformed from glory to glory. That Jesus may be seen in us. Have your way, Lord God, today we pray. In Jesus' mighty name. And God's people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Please take your seats. Praise God. Praise God. We serve an awesome God, don't we? Hallelujah. You know, I think most of us, fairly soon after getting saved, and for many probably before we even ever get saved, we know the story of Joseph, don't we? How many of you've known the story of Joseph for as long as you can remember? Wave at me. And then, you know, me as a teenager, in fact, it must have been not teenager, that's far too uncool. My daughter tells me, don't say the word cool, because when you say it, it sounds so uncool. And I said, all right, you look really hip. No, mummy, do not say the word hip. I'm like, what am I allowed to say? Anyway, I think it was when I was a child. And I used to listen to the musical Joseph. And I would sit in my sitting room and I would kneel and sing that song. Close every door to me. How many of you know the musical? Oh, it's only Laurel and I. Oh, dear. Well, I loved the musical, but we all know the story, don't we? Yes. And don't we love the story? Yes. We love the story because it ends well. Yes. Isn't that right? Yes. You know, if we know that all the trials and storms and difficulties of life are going to lead to a good outcome, it's okay, isn't it? We can handle it. Are you with me? And I love the story of Joseph too. And I just want us to look at an aspect of that story this morning. I believe that God wants to speak to every single one of us. And I believe what he wants to do is he's positioning us for promotion. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is positioning you for promotion. Hallelujah. I think the promotion of Joseph is one of the most notable in Scripture because it was such a suddenly. Isn't that right? He went literally from prison to prime minister within one day. How many of you would like that story? Hallelujah. You see, we serve a miracle working God who is able. Say to your neighbor, God is able.
God is able.
I want to read just a little few verses of this story. I'm going to start at Genesis chapter 50. And you know, I'm very excited about seeing the tank here. We are baptizing 25 young people today. 25 young people. You know, we've had prophecy upon prophecy about this church that there's going to be a move of God among our young people.
Amen.
And, you know, when young people get radical for Jesus and give their all, there is no stopping them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Pray for our young people. But I'm excited about today, and my own two children are being baptized. So I'm going to be, so I'm just excited about what God's doing. Hallelujah. But I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 50, and I'm starting at verse 15. And this story is basically way down the line in Egypt, when Joseph's brothers were now living with him, with their families, their father Jacob had died, and Joseph's brothers basically think, oh my goodness, what's Joseph going to do now? You know, dad's gone. Maybe Joseph was only being good to us for the sake of our father. What's going to happen now? And so they hatch a plan. Verse 15, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. So they sent messengers saying, before your father died, he commanded, saying, thus you'll say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of your servants, of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers went also and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we are your servants. And Joseph said to him, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I'll provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them and spoke to their hearts. Hallelujah. This is a really interesting story because I believe that this reveals the heart of Joseph. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, guard your heart, for it determines the course of your life. Amen? We were teaching that in Life Changers Bible Academy here yesterday. Guard your heart, for it determines the course of your life. The Bible also says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, and we can always tell what's going on the inside by what happens on the outside. Amen? And I believe that if you look at the life of Joseph, right from, you know, his days of trial, you get a sense of what was in the heart of Joseph. Amen?
Amen.
And so here we are at this point, you know, and Joseph was in a prime position. I mean, think about it. He's now prosperous. He's the prime minister of Egypt. He's in this great position to give his brothers what they were due. Anyone just felt like giving someone something what they do? Have you ever thought, now come on, we're going to be real today. Is this okay?
Yes.
Have you ever thought, well, I just want to be promoted. I just want to be raised up so that when I reach that position, that person's go, oh, I wish I hadn't treated you so badly after all. Now, Mercy obviously has. Me and Mercy then. Anyone else? You've just, you know, people just think, well, you're a nothing. And you think, well, one day I'll be a somebody. And then you'll regret thinking I was a nothing. Amen?
Amen.
You know, and here Joseph was in this prime position where he was ready to be able to put his brothers in their place for everything that they had done to him. But I want us to look at just a couple of verses that really reveal something about the heart of Joseph. And it says here in verse 19, he says, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? And then he goes on to say, you meant evil, but God meant it for good. To bring about my promotion, to bring about the mercy and love of God through me. God meant it for higher purposes. Are you hearing me? But you see, that first statement Joseph made was, am I really God? You know, what was he saying in that? What's written underneath all of that? What's the implication behind it? He's basically saying, only God has the right to judge. Are you hearing me? You know, you may have abused me. You may have betrayed me. You may have broken my heart. You may have tried to destroy my destiny. But but I'm still not God. Amen? Amen? And Joseph was standing there and saying, look, I've got no right to judge you. I want to read a verse in Proverbs chapter 3 and just two verses, verses 3 and 4 in Proverbs. And I want you to really hear what Scripture is saying here. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. And it says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so. Say, and so.
And so.
And so.
And so.
Find favor. Say, favor.
Favor.
And high esteem in the sight of God and man. Wow. You know, what is this verse saying? This verse is saying, how many of you here, you want favor? Be real with me. Wave at me if you say, I need favor in my life. Favor with my employer. Favor with people around me. I desperately want favor with God. How many of you need favor from authorities? Or you need favor in housing? You just need favor. You see, these two verses, I believe, give us this powerful key. In fact, two powerful keys. Because this says, if you do these things, then, you know, there's a lot of if and then in the Bible. Amen? And here the Lord is saying, if you will do these two things, then you will get this. Wow. You know, the title of my message today, I'm going to preach two separate messages on these two favor magnets. The title today is The Favor Magnet. How many of you want to attract the favor of God? You want to attract the favor of people. That's what opens doors. That's what means you can go where no man has been before. That's what'll mean there'll be that promotion just when you've so desired and wanted it. That's what means that goodness and mercy will follow you even more than you've ever experienced before. Are you hearing me? And what does the Bible say? Back to verse 3. Let not mercy and truth. Well, we're going to look today at mercy, the favor magnet. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, show mercy.
Show mercy.
Hallelujah. You know, this word mercy means kindness. It means goodness, love. Do you know what else it means? It actually means favor. And this is the interesting thing, because you see, favor isn't completely to do. We often think that it's the favor of God, that it's undeserved, yes. The Bible makes that clear, that the favor of God is unmerited, undeserved. But there are requirements that help us to ensure that we walk in the favor of God. If you study favor in the New Testament, you will see that. The favor of God is something that can increase. It increased on key people. It increased on Joseph. It increased in Jesus' life. And there are certain things that if we walk in those ways, we will see the favor of God increase. Did you notice about Joseph? He starts off as a servant. What does he experience? Favor. Turn to your neighbor and say, favor.
Favor.
What does Joseph then do? He finds himself in prison. What does he experience? Even in prison. Hallelujah. And then whilst he's in prison, it's that place where he's literally taken out of there, still as a prisoner, and experiences the ultimate favor of God. You see, God wants us to experience his favor. And he's saying to you, you see, what is mercy? Mercy is showing favor to someone who doesn't deserve it. Mercy is showing kindness to somebody who judgment would cut to size. Are you hearing me? Mercy is being God's goodness in someone else's life, especially, say especially, when they're testing your patience. Hallelujah. You know, I observed something recently. And it really reminded me of my own driving habits. How many of drivers in the house? Right, and I observed something. So I'm not going to tell the story of what I observed. I'm going to tell the story of me. Okay, so, you know, how many of you know what it's like? You're driving along. See, I'm a bit of a... How many type A personalities in the house? Do you all know what type A versus type B is? Yeah, a bit assertive, aggressive, on the go, want to get it done. How many type A's in the house, right? And, you know, driving along, and you reach a roundabout, you need to get where you're going. And the person in front, oh my goodness, will this guy ever move out? Come on, come on, I'm in a hurry. And the guy's in front, sitting there. Often a little older. And come on, what are you waiting for? Do you want it in writing? Well, you're not going to get it in writing. Will you move? Are you hearing me? And then the car eventually moves forward. Ah, oh, hallelujah. And look at me snipping in and out. You see, I know how to drive. You know, and I'm carrying on driving, thinking, oh my goodness. And then I stop someone who suddenly pulls in left. No real indication. I'm like, honestly, what a fool on the road. When did you pass your driving test? You know, who gave you a license? And I'm carrying on, yeah, because I'm just this amazing driver, you know. And I'm carrying on, and the praise music's playing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And suddenly, oh no, that's my turning. Whoops, indicate, pull out. And then I'm going, come on, bit of patience, please, on the road. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You see, I want mercy, but I don't want to show it. And you see, this is the thing about mercy. Extraordinary, because the Bible promises the only beatitude in the book of Matthew that basically says, give it and you'll get it, is about mercy. You know, blessed are the merciful, because they'll get what they give. You know, this morning in the prayer meeting, a dear sister of mine, who will remain nameless just in case she doesn't want me to mention who she was like calling down the fire of God. She was in such loud, powerful praise. And she's also, you know, reaching the time of life when, you know, changes may be setting in, you know, but she's calling on the fire of God, calling on the next thing I know. I mean, that woman is covered. I mean, she's covered in, you know, sweat all over her face. And so, you know, I went running over with a tissue for her. And then about 20 minutes later, Prempe started to speak to me about something that he'd seen the Lord show him in a couple of dreams. And it really touched my heart, because it confirmed so much that God had been speaking to me. And the next thing I know, you know, tears are trickling down my eyes and someone comes running to me with a tissue. You see, I gave a tissue and I got one. And I have to say, I'm still believing God that I'm not going to have those hot flushes. So you can join me in believing God. And I believe God for every woman in the house. That you will transition. You know, you'll transition and maintain completely and perfectly composed. You know, of course, these things never mattered before I was about 45. And suddenly I'm aware of them all. You know, and thinking everyone else will be too. But of course you're not. But you see, mercy is one of those things that God says to us. If you'll give it, you'll get it. But if you won't give it... And you see, not only do we get mercy if we show mercy, that's not all we get, is it? We just discovered we get favor too. Amen. You know, I believe that God wants to raise up a generation of people who are willing to be mercy showers. You know, the flesh loves to judge. Isn't that right? But you know, God loves it when we show mercy. If we could just have Romans 14, verse 4, in the New Living Translation, please. Romans 14, verse 4. You know, I remember as, you know, God brings me through several seasons when he's wanting to remind me of something again. And, you know, you might go round that season several times over a number of years. Do you know what I mean? He brings you back to mercy. He brings you back to humility. He brings you back again and again. But this really has always helped me. You know, because when there's people who are really hurting you, who are really doing things in your life that are causing problems, how many of you, there have been people in your life that have really caused you problems. Wave at me. You know, and when we're going through a situation, we can often find ourselves in prayer and we're going to go to God and say, God, will you deal with that woman? God, will you deal with that man? You know, this is so hard. They're making it difficult for me. You know, they want to pull me apart. Father, deal with them. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, and then, you know, the husband, well, mine's not like this ever. I mean, I'm just married to a perfect man. Yeah, he's normally sitting right here, and so, you know, he'd normally have that angelic look on his face. But, you know, it's even in that situation, is it? In marriage, in families, where we're constantly wanting to harass God, saying, God, deal with them. You know, did you not see? It's like, even in the garden, what did Adam say? It's this woman. It's all her fault. And the married men said, and then it's not even just blaming the woman, is it? It's this woman you gave me. That's why when people come to me and say, Pastor Joe, you know, I really believe this is the right one. What do you think? Do you know, I learned some wisdom from my husband on that one. Because I heard him one time saying, well, he said, you are the one that has to wake up beside them in 25 years, not me. So what do you think? I'm not going to be blamed for who you've married. Amen? Because marriage is tough. Marriage is awesome. Marriage is amazing. But you know, about the first 20 years are the most difficult. I just reached my 20th wedding anniversary. I'm in the bliss stage now. Hallelujah. You know, I think my husband deserves a medal for patience, I have to say. But you see, what does this verse say? Who are you? Let's turn that round. Who am I to condemn someone else's servant? Their master, or they are responsible to their master. So let their master judge whether they're right or wrong. And with the Lord's help, see the heart of God, they will do what is right and they will receive his approval. You know, the very people who've caused pain to you, the very people who've been like thorns in your side, the very people who we so often see as the reason we are like we are. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Well, the reason I'm like I am is because of this, and it's that, and it's this, and it's this person, and what they did to me, and how they treated me. You know, but that person who's hurt you, that person who has taken credit for your work, you know, that person who cut you up on the motorway on the way here today, amen. That person belongs to someone else. And you know, whether they're a Christian or they're not, the Bible says the harvest belongs to the Lord. So you know, every human being belongs to the Lord God Almighty. You know, so when I'm holding somebody and I'm judging them and I'm withholding mercy, what I'm doing is I'm judging God's child, his own possession. You know, and it's like, you know, any parents and, you know, one child comes to you and gives you this great long reason why the other one ought to be disciplined, ought to have their pocket money cut, ought to have, you know, and they give you this, you know, very carefully crafted list of arguments. Anyone else had that? Yes. And all the reasons why they should be penalized. Amen? Amen? Do you know what I say? I say, well, you know what? You're not their mum. You're not her mum. You're not his mum. And when you are, then you can dosh out the punishment. Are you hearing me? You know, and I just believe that God is wanting to appeal to our hearts today. Because when we show mercy, we will show mercy. We will receive mercy. We will be shown mercy. Every time I step into judgment, you know, God even convicted me a few weeks ago. I was talking to some people and we were talking about all the preachers we like and we don't like. Is it all right to be real? Yeah. Oh yeah, I love this one, that great. I love this message. I love how, you know, they flow in this, but this one, you know, not sure about this, not sure about that. And the conviction conviction of God fell on me. Because you see, if I'm going to judge people, and it hurts the heart of God, because he's working on them. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is working on them. He's working on that very person who's winding you up right now. Are you hearing me? You know, God is working on my brother. He's working on my sister. Let him who has no sin throw the first stone. You know, and I just had to repent. I said, God, I am so sorry. And the very same scenario replayed about 3 days later. The same people with the same conversation and the same preacher came up and I was asked, so, you know, what's your opinion? And I was like, whoa, Lord, how do I answer this? You know, am I going to turn into little Miss Prim and Proper who's suddenly going to look like I'm holier than thou? You know, and I just said, well, you know, I've been really searching to see what God's saying to me. I want to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to me. And he's speaking to me. You know, there is always a way to show mercy. There is always a way to speak kindly. There is always a way to walk in love. It's just finding the path of love. Are you hearing me? There's a broad, easy path, which is different. But there's this narrow way. And you can find that footpath. Are you hearing me? And that footpath is a higher way. Hallelujah. You know, in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, who are you to judge one another? You know, even Jesus said, who made me judge over you? Jesus refused to judge. Even when he was asked to become a judge, he said, who made me judge over you? You know, now I just want us to look. You see, where does mercy come from? Where does the heart of mercy flow from? You know, it says in Ephesians 2, 4, God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love. Wow. So what does that mean? If I've got a mercy deficit, I've got a love deficit. What's the first value of Harvest Church? Let's say it more loudly. What's the first value of Harvest Church?
Love.
Love. So an offshoot, a product of mercy, of love rather, is that I will show mercy. You know, God wants us to walk in mercy. He wants us to show mercy. You know, I remember one time, and judgment can rear its head in so many different ways. You know, and we don't think we're judging, do we? You know, and I remember one time, I thank God for the prayer warriors in this ministry. Amen? Amen. We are so blessed to have prayer warriors in this ministry. And there was one time when I was going to be preaching a word that day, and I was in the prayer meeting, and Mary, who has the most awesome gift of just warfare. I mean, when this woman starts praying, sometimes you have to say, okay, now, you know, like, it's time to stop. Because she doesn't have a stop button on her praying. Amen. Are you hearing me? How many of you want to catch that from her? You know, she doesn't have a stop button. I remember since she visited Ghana about 8 years ago, there was something that was set alight on the inside of that woman of God. And she is a warrior. And there's one time I walked into the prayer meeting and, you know, I was in that place where I just wanted to bask in the glory of God. How many of you just, it's times when you just want to bask. And I was just, you know, I was wanting just to hear the Lord a bit more clearly. And then off Mary went. I mean, when this woman prays, if you're a demon, you better just get out of that place fast. Are you hearing me? You know, and she just started to pray. And then I'm just thinking, do this with me. You see, that's what judgment does, doesn't it? Yeah. And I was like, I want to bask. And I was all cross on the inside, and I heard the Spirit of God so clearly speak. And he said, Joe, you are able to be who you are because she is who she is. Are you hearing me? Listen, we judge what we don't know. We don't understand. You know, sometimes you see someone and they're crazy praising at the front and they're just, you know, like this, and you're thinking, will you just be a bit more dignified? Does that ring a bell? Anyone called Micah in the Bible who didn't like the way David was praying? You just don't know what God just did for them. You know, you just don't know where they're coming from. Have you ever got irritated on the motorway when someone in front of you is going at a ridiculously snail pace? Anyone else? Just me. Come on. Ever been? You know, we don't know why. We've got to be so careful. I'll never forget the day when we were driving home from hospital. Our daughter had died about 4 hours earlier. And we're in the fast lane, going at about 50 miles an hour, in a complete daze. And this car behind was not impressed. I mean, beep, 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 bruh, bruh, I mean, everything you can imagine. And we realized we were in the fast lane and pulled over. But you know, that taught me something. You just don't know what's just happened in somebody's life. You just don't know why they're behaving the way they are. And I want to ask you, when you're in that place, when you're making mistakes, when you've just messed up at home, when you just gave the wrong answer, when you were slow rather than on the ball, do you want mercy? Do you want patience and kindness? You know, if we will give mercy, we're going to reap mercy. You know what that scripture is basically saying is, do you know what? It's not my business to be in that place of judgment. Whether it's the assistant in the supermarket, you know, whether it's someone who's just suddenly stopped. How many of you know what that's like? You're really walking somewhere very fast in a rush, you know, and it's very, very crowded. You know, and you've got to get where you're going very quickly. And then suddenly the person in front of you just suddenly, boom. I mean, if they were drivers, that would have been, you know, a pile-up. And you're thinking, you are so lucky you're not in the car right now. You know, and, will you hurry up? You know, we just don't know why. We don't know what's going on in someone else's life. You know, and Joseph, he said to his brothers, do you know what? The other thing he didn't just say, do you know what? I'm not God. I've got no right. You know, one of the things I often think is, you know, I don't know how I would react if I was living your life. The day that I get to step into your shoes, from the day you were born, before you had shoes, so excuse the analogy, doesn't quite work there, until right now, until that moment, I have no right to judge. And that's why God is judge. Because he's the only one who has seen you since the moment you were born. Are you hearing me? You know, and so I don't know why you do what you do. You know, I don't know why. But you see, that's where trust comes in. And that's where we get to say, God, it's not my place to even ask why. It's not my place to be trying to make a decision. You know what judgment is? It's when I make a decision about you. Isn't it? It's when I, you know, weigh it up, and in my place of superiority and knowing it all, I make a decision. I pass judgment on someone else. You know, and the extraordinary thing is that the Bible says that because God loved so much, he's rich in mercy. You know, I want the love of God to increase on the inside of me. I want to love him more. I want more and more love to flow from the inside of me. You know, the prayer that Solomon prayed when God said, son, what would you like me to do for you? And he said, Lord, give me a heart of understanding. And you know the response of God? The Bible says that God gave him largeness of heart like the sand of the seashore. Why is that relevant? You see, if I have a really big heart, if I'm full of understanding, then I'm going to be very slow to anger. I'm going to be very quick to show mercy. because I'm going to understand more. I'm going to seek to understand more than I'm going to seek to be understood. Amen?
Amen.
Amazing. You see, so this is a favor magnet. You know, isn't it funny that so often the very people who really want promotion are those type A personalities? I was speaking to someone recently, and I was talking to this man, and I was speaking to him, and I was saying, you know, look, what's going on? Because this man was just showing no respect to so many people around him. He was just in this place of thinking he was king of the castle, everyone else was the dirty rascals. And I sat with him and I said, look, I said, what's going on with you? What's happening? And he said, well, you see, the problem is I'm a type A personality like you. And we like to get things done, don't we? He said, I want to see a plan in everyone's life. I want to see where they're getting, how they're doing. I want to see them. And I just said to him, I said, my brother, the way up is the way down. And I said, all I'm hearing is I'm hearing a pride in your heart that says I'm better than you. You know, and I reminded him about two of the Beatitudes that says, blessed are the poor in spirit. The way the Amplified expresses that is, blessed are those who consider themselves as insignificant. For they will inherit the earth. They will inherit heaven. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. And then it says, blessed are the meek. And they will inherit the earth. In other words, humility opens the door to the blessings of heaven and the blessings of earth. You see, if I'm really a servant, then as a servant, I don't have the right to judge. If I'm really humbling myself on the inside, then I can't be in the place of God. And you see, what God does is when he sees people with those hearts, he says, wow, I've got one I want to lift up. Because what does the Bible say? You know, if you exalt yourself, he's going to bring you down. Ouch. Ouch. You know, I understand that. Ouch. In the natural, in the flesh, I'm a driven, selfishly ambitious, all about me kind of person. And those of you who know me a long time would say, yeah, maybe not amen, because you don't want to agree that it's going to continue. But you'll say, yes, sir. You know? But you see, that will never get us anywhere in God's kingdom. It's when we climb down from that place of knowing best that God gets to be glorified. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to read Colossians 3, verse 12 in the Amplified. If we could just have it in the Amplified, that would be wonderful. Hallelujah. You know, whoever it is that we judge, God is saying, let's instead exchange judgment for mercy. It says, clothe yourselves, therefore, as God's chosen ones. Now, how many people here serve the Lord? How many you can say, yes, God chose me? If you've chosen him, he chose you first. Lift up your hand and wave at me. Right, so that's you. Yeah. So hold your point to yourself and say, that's me.
That's me.
Right. Those who are purified and holy and well-beloved by God himself, by putting on behavior marked by tender-hearted pity and mercy, kind feeling, a lowly opinion of yourselves, gentle ways, and patience, which is tireless and long-suffering and has the power to endure whatever comes with good temper. You know, that verse really showed me something. Because what it says in the New King James is it talks specifically about mercy and tenderness. Tender mercies it talks about. And what the Lord showed me is one of the ways we know we're walking in mercy is when tenderness comes out of our mouths. Mercy and tenderness. If you swap it now to the New King James Version, please, so that everyone can see. Mercy manifests in the form of tenderness and kindness. judgment manifests in the form of harshness and abruptness and frustration and irritation. Love is not easily provoked, the Bible says. You know, so the more that the mercy of God is on the inside. You see, the great thing about preaching this message at home is you guys live with me. It's great preaching a message like this in a church where no one knows you. Amen. Nudge your neighbor and say, she's telling the truth. Because they can think I'm a saint. You know, I mean, I'm preaching to myself just as much. You know, you see me when it's a sunny day and when it's a rainy day. When things are good, when the food's arriving on time at a party, and when the food's half an hour late. Amen. You know, when someone shows up without a ticket and when they show up with their ticket. Are you hearing me? You know, and it's in those places of pressure, say pressure, that we discover what's on the inside. You see, tender mercies. So with mercy comes tenderness. With judgment comes harshness. And the Lord is calling us today. I want us, as we finish, to go back to that scripture in Proverbs that says, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3, that says, let not mercy forsake you. Bind it around your neck. In other words, if you have to put a scarf around your neck and write the words mercy on it to remind yourself, do it. Write that word on the tablet of your heart. In other words, everywhere you go, practice mercy. Say, I'm going to practice. I'm going to practice. I'm going to show mercy at home. I'm going to show mercy to my spouse. I'm going to show mercy to my parents. I'm going to show mercy to my children. I'm going to show mercy in the city. I'm going to show mercy in the country. Do you see? It's something we need to show continually. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Verse 4. And so, find favor. The thing about high esteem, do you know what that speaks to me of? Double portion of favor. Turn to your neighbor and say, do you want the double portion? You see, I can favor someone because I love them. But if I show them high esteem, that's someone I hold in very high regard. Are you hearing me? You know, somebody I hold in high esteem. And I show high esteem for. You know, probably the closest person to me who I hold in very high esteem is my husband. I mean, over 20 years of marriage, the mercy I have seen him show at times when I would have wanted to just deal with something. You know, I was just saying in Life Changers Bible Academy yesterday, I was saying, you know, so often people say, wow, I love the love in Harvest. How many of you noticed the love in this place when you walked in? There's the acceptance, the freedom, you know, and you know what? That DNA of this house, I can say, as a woman that's lived with him for 20 years, that's because of the heart that my husband carries. You see, when you carry mercy, others catch it. When you carry kindness, it will infect people all around you. When you're tender, when people deserve you to be tough. I'm not saying there isn't times to be tough. But when you're tender and you're kind and you're patient, suddenly you'll see the people around you are starting to emulate those very same spiritual values. Will you stand to your feet? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Right now, I just want to give every single person in the house an opportunity. You know, every time the Lord shows me what's lacking and missing on the inside of me, every time he shines his light into my heart, showing me my error. You know, one of the things that I think has meant that his mercy just flows and flows and flows is that I try very hard to be quick to repent. You know, just being quick to say, Lord, it's me you're talking about. You know, it's so easy when we listen to a message to think about everyone that needs to hear it. Thank you, Jesus. Just shut your eyes right now. And if the Lord has been speaking to you and you're saying, you know, I can see in all these different areas where I've been harsh, where I've been quick to judge. Right now, I just want you to just lift your hands in the presence of the Lord. And as you're doing that, just see yourself lifting up judgment and just saying, Lord, take away judgment from in my heart. Father, I pray for every single person under the sound of my voice. Father, I pray that in all of our hearts where you see that we've judged, where we've been harsh, where we've thought others haven't measured up to our standards. Oh, Lord, forgive us. Father, may we be like Joseph, who had every reason to judge, and yet instead, rivers of mercy flowed from his innermost being. Right now, if you're just saying, I want rivers of mercy to flow from me, just lift up your hands in the presence of the Lord. Father, I pray, Lord God, that as you are rich in mercy, that you would shed your mercy in this place. Father, I pray for mercy to fill every one of our hearts. Father, may mercy overtake us. May mercy fill us. May we be those who, just like you, Lord God, are rich in mercy because of the vastness of our love for you and one for another. Father, I speak your blessing over every single person in this place. Thank you, Lord. And if you're here today and you're saying, you know, I've never really given my life to Jesus. Maybe you've believed in God for years. Maybe not even that. You've been someone who's just on the outside looking in. If you're here today and you're saying, I want to receive the mercy of God, I want him to overlook all my wrongdoings and to just fill me with his love. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to start afresh on a new track with him. You know, God made a way where there was no way by Jesus dying for every one of us. He was punished so that we would go free. If you're saying, I want to receive the love of God, I want to give my life to Jesus, would you just lift up your hand so that I can pray for you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you've done that before. Thank you. Maybe you've done it before, but you're saying, I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. I've gone my own way. I've been doing my own things. If you're saying, I want to rededicate my life to Jesus, would you lift up your hand so that I can pray for you? Thank you. Thank you. I'm just going to lead everyone in prayer together. If you just say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for me. Thank you for sending Jesus. I ask you to forgive me for every sin. I ask you to forgive me for going my own way. I give my life to you today. Be the Lord of my life. Be my Savior. Be my boss. I give you the reins of my life. And I give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah.